Hello, we have some bonus episodes for you. This is the first of two that we are publishing from a season that was recorded for STEG, a CEPR initiative that you will hear about later in the podcast. If you want to know more about this research program and listen to more of its podcasts, of course, go to steg.cepr.org. Welcome to another podcast recorded at the 5th Annual STEG Conference held in the Economics Department of the University of Oxford. My name is Tim Phillips. STEG is a research initiative that aims to provide a better understanding of structural change, productivity and growth in low and middle income countries. For many economies in the global south, fossil fuel extraction has been both a blessing and a curse. Nowhere more so than Nigeria, where oil production generates huge revenues but also creates an environmental and social burden for the people who live in oil-producing regions. Arinze Nwokolo of Lagos Business School has investigated one aspect of this burden: how gas flaring that occurs as part of the oil extraction process affects local agriculture. When we met, I had to admit to him that I had only a vague idea of what gas flaring was, so our conversation started there.
So gas flaring is the burning of natural gas from oil extraction. So normally oil companies, once they are extracting oil, they also extract gas with it.
Uh-huh.
And in the process, it is cheaper for them to flare the gas than actually to store it. So they burn the gas.
They just burn it.
Yes.
Because they could use it, but it's not worth it.
But it is not worth your time because the price of gas in the international market is quite low. So it is not cheap for them to do it. And it is not cost effective either for them to do it. So the cheaper way of doing it is to burn the gas.
I imagine that this is a pretty polluting activity. What does it put into the atmosphere?
Well, it puts quite a lot of pollutants in the atmosphere. So you have carbon dioxide, nitrogen dioxide, black carbon, particulate matter, methane, which is actually causing a lot of climate change in the world now. Yes, so it puts a lot into the atmosphere.
Considering how bad it is there any alternative to doing this?
Well, there is an alternative. I mean, one alternative definitely is to have liquefied natural gas. So you kind of convert it into liquid and sell it in the international market.
Uh-huh.
And then you could also try to re-inject the natural gas into the oil extraction. So that increases the oil pressure that helps you to extract more oil. Or you could also save it by compressing it and putting it into pipelines that could help, you could say, the communities for energy purposes, electricity, for instance. So there are several uses that can be made using natural gas, but it depends on whether the oil companies think it's cost effective or not.
If there are the incentives to do so.
Exactly.
We're talking about Nigeria today. How much gas flaring occurs in Nigeria's oil industry?
Well, Nigeria is, in terms of gas flaring, is number one in Africa. And between 2012 and 2020, Nigeria has flared between 9.3 to 5.6 billion cubic meters of gas.
Whoa.
And then you have a lot of communities living around those flaring sites. So minimum of 2 million people live close to a gas flaring site in Nigeria in the Niger Delta. And that has a huge health impact on the populace.
So in this piece of work, you're estimating the effect of gas flaring on agricultural productivity. How do you calculate that productivity? How granular can you be?
What you try to do is calculate the real value of agricultural productivity per hectare cultivated by each household within each region or within each local government area in Nigeria. So by using our data from the Living Standard Measurement Survey from the World Bank, between 2010 and 2023, we calculate the nominal value of agricultural produce And then we divide that by the what we call the Las Perez Index that controls for inflation and also possibility of price changes. So that gives you like a real value of the agriculture product. So it's quite granular because you're looking at almost the district level
right.
of data on that. So you can see which district produces more agriculture or agricultural products compared to other districts using that data set.
Now, you said 2 million people live in affected areas. How close do those areas have to be to where that flaring is taking place to be affected?
Between 5 kilometers and 60 kilometers, you will be affected. So the closer you are to the gas flaring sites, the greater, you could say, the decrease in agriculture productivity. So the farther away you are, there will still be a decrease, but not as much as if you're close. So take, for instance, if you are close to about 20 kilometers from the gas flaring sites, agriculture productivity will reduce by 61%.
Okay.
But if you're farther away, like 60 kilometers, your productivity can reduce by 0.9%.
To make some kind of causal estimate on this, we have to assume that the areas that are close enough to be affected by the gas flaring would have been as productive as other areas. Can we assume that?
Yes and no. So yes, in the sense that you're comparing it conditional on certain things. So you're comparing conditional on that the states or the local government areas that have this gas flaring are similar to other states or local government areas that do not have the gas flaring. And within Nigeria, given the diversity in cultural groups, ethnic groups, that is quite, you could say, a hard sell because different people are specialized in different areas. But what my study has done is conditional on those differences, then if those areas did not have gas flaring, most likely the agricultural productivity will be the same or slightly less different than the others. So there are other things that could affect agricultural productivity. Take, for instance, conflict, farmer-herder conflict.
Yeah.
So in Nigeria, there has been a lot of that in recent years of the herders attacking the farmers, and definitely that can affect agricultural productivity. In the study, by controlling for that, we actually see still significant effects in the reduction in agricultural productivity. So I would say, yes, conditional on controlling for other things that might affect agricultural productivity. By removing flaring, it should be almost the same.
Now, one thing that would affect productivity, and I guess would also affect the behavior of pollution, would be weather conditions. Do you control for that as well?
Yes, I do control for weather conditions across the local government areas, rainfall and temperature, which is like an environmental confounder of pollution. So I also control for that, and my results still remain the same.
Are you just looking exclusively at agricultural productivity, or are you looking at other outcomes as well?
I look at other outcomes that relate indirectly to agricultural productivity.
Ah, right.
So you have the amount of labor hours dedicated to agriculture or to the service sector. You also have the health outcomes of farmers. And one of the things we see is that farmers dedicate less time to agriculture when they are exposed to gas flaring, and they dedicate more time to service sectors, so they do things not related to agriculture because of gas flaring. And then farmers tend to fall ill because of gas flaring, at least within those areas. So these are the things that you could say mechanisms that show that there is a negative impact of gas flaring on farmers within those regions.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about your results. How does flaring relate to productivity? And can you compare this with other types of pollution that farmers would be subjected to?
The gas flaring in my study reduces productivity by 61%.
61.
Which is huge.
Yes.
Now, if you compare to other studies that have looked at the impact of gold mining on agriculture productivity, you see that their study by Aragon and Rood sees a reduction in productivity by 40%. And then there's this recent study on air pollution and agriculture productivity in India, and they only see 0.68%. in reduction. So that means that flaring is quite significant in reducing agriculture productivity.
Like more than quite significant. It sounds like it's one of the worst possible things you could do to a farmer.
Exactly.
And you're sure from all the analysis that you've done that it is the flaring activity itself that's causing this decline?
Yes, it is the flaring activity itself that is doing that, because what I try to do is to look at how much flaring is done within 20 kilometers of a household location,
right,
of a farmer location. And how does that compare to farmers that are outside of that 20 kilometer zone? If farmers are within 20 kilometers of a gas flaring site, the agriculture productivity reduces. Whereas if they are farther away from that site, even doing this using a placebo test, you see there's no effect. So with a placebo test of randomly assigning farmers as if they have gas flaring, even when they're not in the region, you don't see any effect. But when you actually look at it from the perspective of these farmers are within the region or within this area where there's gas flaring, there's a huge effect. So it shows that gas flaring itself is a major contributor to reduction in agriculture productivity, especially in Nigeria.
And it's the variation in this flaring activity.
Yes, across time. So I look at the variation between 2012 and 2020. Especially in 2012, there was this huge spike in gas flaring within Nigeria. I mean, it's massive. So one of the things that explains that huge spike is there was a reduction in gas prices in the international market.
Right, so there's less incentive to do anything with the gas.
Exactly. And then because as the gas prices were going down, oil price was increasing. So when you look at oil price relative to gas price in the international market, because of that increase, then gas flaring increased because oil companies had more incentives to produce more oil because of the increase in the price, but less incentive to store gas and send it to the international market because the gas prices in the international market is quite low.
So you said there are several effects of this. There is the pollution in the atmosphere. There are the farmers getting ill. There are fewer people working on the land. Are these the candidate mechanisms for what's causing this decline in productivity?
Yes, they are the candidate mechanisms, at least according to my study, that is causing this decline in productivity. Now, most studies have seen it mostly from the perspective of air pollution.
Yeah.
Right? That air pollution causes farmers to reduce the less time that they dedicate to agriculture. And in my study, I also see an impact in air pollution because I compare local government areas that flare gas with those that do not flare gas. And I see there's a huge increase in particulate matter, especially 2.5. There's a huge increase in black carbon. There's a huge increase in nitrogen dioxide, which is indicative that air pollution is playing a key role also in this.
But can you distinguish the impact of these other mechanisms in your data? The number of hours?
Yes, I could distinguish that. So I did that in my data and I show that the number of hours that farmers dedicated to agriculture reduced by 5%. Mm-hmm. And the number of hours that they dedicated to the service-related activities increased by over 50%. So farmers tend to leave agriculture and do other things in the service sector.
So considering the huge impact, not just environmentally, but economically as well, is there anything that the government can do to control this problem? I mean, given that the Nigerian government is very reliant on oil revenues.
Yeah, so the government can do several things to control this problem. One of the things they can do is to revise the gas flaring fees by oil companies. At the moment, oil companies pay between $0.5 to $2 if they produce less than 10,000 barrels. And as they're producing less than 10,000 barrels, they flare over 28.31 standard cubic feet. Then they pay $0.5 for every 28.1 standard cubic feet. But if they produce more than 10,000 barrels, they only pay $2 for every 28.31 standard cubic feet. So what that means is that the oil companies are willing to flare gas because the amount they're going to pay is still very minute.
Yes, they're not paying to pollute.
Exactly. And then what that also means that because it is the oil companies that kind of keep track of how much they have flared, then there is also an incentive to underreport how much you have flared so that you pay less. That means that the government, there needs to be more regulation, especially monitoring. It has to be stringent. And the government needs to increase the amount that oil companies pay. But the governments might not be willing to do that because oil is the mainstay of the economy. So they do not want to antagonize the oil companies because that might have a negative effect on their revenue. So that'll be a tough one.
Well, let's hope the government does find the appetite to regulate properly. Arenze, thank you very much for your research and for bringing it to our attention.
Thank you very much.
The paper is called Gas Flaring, Agricultural Productivity and Labour Reallocation, Evidence from Nigeria. And the author, of course, Arinze Nwokolo.